RNZ Pacific News. Hello, ola kita. I'm Selmanu Tevamtanfai. All votes were expected to have been counted by this morning in the Solomon Islands joint election. On Tuesday afternoon, the chief electoral officer told RNZ Pacific 90% of votes were in. Jasper Nisi says the next step is verification.
Checking the numbers, checking the voter turnouts and all these things. And once that is done, then we send notice back to the Attorney General for vetting and gazetting, and then we gazette it. Once it's gazetted, then we send it back to the Governor General and to the Clerk of Parliament, and then the next part starts the formation of government.
The leader of the Samoa Opposition Party and former Prime Minister has formally requested to appear in person to advocate for the repealing of the contentious Western Samoa Citizenship Act 1982. Tuila Ipase Lele Malia Lingoi hopes to appear before the New Zealand Select Committee looking at the matter. Susana Suisuiki reports.
A private members' bill initiated by Green Party MP Te Anau Tuiono would provide entitlement to New Zealand citizenship for a group of people born in the then Western Samoa and repeal the law that took their citizenship away. The Samoa Observer reports Tuilaepa was travelling to New Zealand on Tuesday for a Human Rights Protection Party function and will use the opportunity to appear before the Select Committee. He says appearing in person will allow for a more comprehensive and impassioned plea.
However, Te Anau Tuiono told RNZ he was unaware of any visit. 16 Cook Islanders are spending 1 month at sea sailing a traditional voyaging vessel to Hawaii for the Festival of Pacific Arts. 9 of the crew members come from the Outer Island Communities, or Pāenua, after having undergone a traditional training program over the past year. The selection fulfills Master Navigator Paia Pātai's goal to include young ones in the preservation of traditional waka knowledge. The crew depart next week for the festival, which runs from the 6th to the 16th of June. There are hopes the participation of Australian Prime Minister Anthony Albanese at ANZAC commemorations in Papua New Guinea will encourage public turnout. Mr Albanese, who is in PNG, has so far had bilateral talks with the Prime Minister, James Marape, and walked the Kokoda track. RNZ Pacific correspondent in PNG, Scott Wade, says there have been low numbers at ANZAC events in previous years.
There's a lot of unwritten history that needs to be told, and a lot of the responsibility is on the PNG government side. We need to sit down and write. Our families need to also document who participated in the campaigns, who contributed, so that there's some pride in their participation in the ANZAC Day.
Over 50,000 people from Papua New Guinea and Solomon Islands assisted in the war effort. ANZAC Day is tomorrow. New Zealand Safe Travel website is suggesting anyone travelling to or living in Samoa should have comprehensive medical and travel insurance policies with the country in the midst of a dengue outbreak. More than 200 cases of dengue fever have been reported in the island nation, while New Zealand Ministry of Foreign Affairs is not issuing a specific travel advisory for Samoa at this time. It does advise travellers to have insurance policies that include a provision for medical evacuation by air. The Pacific Community and the New Zealand Qualifications Authority have launched a new project to improve Pacific graduates' access to further education and skilled employment. The New Zealand Ministry of Foreign Affairs and Trade is funding the Pacific Qualifications Recognition Project. It aims to strengthen the Pacific Qualifications Framework and the qualification systems of 9 Pacific Island countries: the Cook Islands, Kiribati, Nauru, Niue, Samoa, Solomon Islands, Tonga, Tuvalu and Vanuatu. A former Health New Zealand employee accused of leaking COVID-19 vaccine data has been given a trial date, April the 28th next year. The personal information of at least 12,000 people was released in the leak last year. Barry Young pleaded not guilty in December to a charge of accessing computer systems for a dishonest purpose. He appeared in the Wellington District Court yesterday before a packed public gallery. He says despite a long wait for the trial, he's not fazed.
Well, it's what I came here for, so I'm happy with that. It's another year, so it gives them another year to dismiss the case, basically, because they haven't got one. They haven't got a leg to stand on. I'm a free man until then, so let them worry about it.
Outside court, he was greeted to cheers from supporters holding signs thanking him. The United States will consult with countries interested in joining the second pillar of the AUKUS military pact this year. The second pillar of the deal between the US, UK and Australia is focused on advanced technologies. New Zealand has expressed an interest in signing up to this part of the deal, but the government says it is still exploring what involvement could look like. US Under Secretary for Arms Control and International Security, Bonnie Dennis Jenkins, says discussions this year will cover how countries can contribute and benefit from the pact. She says AUKUS countries will consider technological innovation, financing and data protection when deciding if other countries should join. Five people have died trying to cross from France to Britain in an overcrowded boat just hours after the British Parliament passed legislation aimed to deter such journeys. The new law aims to send those who have arrived on small vessels to Rwanda to have their asylum claims processed. The BBC's Andrew Harding reports from Calais.
Before dawn, we watched perhaps 100 people rush from the dark sand dunes towards the sea, dragging an inflatable boat. French police ran towards them, but we could see young men reacting by wielding long sticks and throwing explosive firecrackers. The boat was pushed out, and there was a frantic struggle as people clambered on board. It now seems clear that those who died were crushed or drowned in those few chaotic minutes, just a few dozen metres off the French coast.
In sport, the Flying Fijians will battle Six Nations champions Ireland in Dublin in November. AFP Media says the Irish will meet the All Blacks, Argentina, Fiji and the Wallabies in their Autumn Nations series. Meanwhile, the Flying Fijians are scheduled to battle the All Blacks in San Diego in July. Hurricanes utility backs Alisi Rayasi says he's open to play for the Flying Fijians if he gets the call-up. His father, Felipe, was a former Flying Fijian. The Fiji Sun newspaper says Rayasi has been waiting for 3 years to play for the team his dad was in. Rayasi was in Suva last week with the Hurricanes, says he is excited about the possibility of playing for Fiji. He is also eligible for the All Blacks. Meanwhile, the Crusaders won't sack under-fire coach Rob Penny mid-season as the struggling defending champs languish at the bottom of the Super Rugby Pacific ladder. Penny's had a tough first season in charge after replacing new All Blacks coach Scott Robertson with several experienced players moving on. The Crusaders have just one win from 8 games, but Chief Executive Colin Mansbridge says while cutting Penny might satisfy some fans, it wouldn't be a clever option. Warriors halfback Sean Johnson doesn't believe opposition NRL defences have figured them out, but rather they're simply not playing well. The 10th played Warriors have 3 wins from 7 games and play the winless Gold Coast Titans in Auckland on Anzac Day. Johnson says every team attacks in a similar way.
You know how many players in the comp go Roger Tuivasa-Sheck left foot, and yet he still manages to get people with his left foot. So teams will know what's coming their way, but we should still be able to execute at a high level because we've got, I guess, options and solutions for whatever defences throw at us.
And that's your latest RNZ Pacific News and Sport. For more stories, go to rnzi.com.